Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. He'll come to
the... All right, that's the right beginning. We're just having some fun with an old rock and roll song called Stuck in the Middle with You. Clowns to the left of me and jokers to my right. Yeah, I wonder why they wrote that song in the 70s. Could you think they were talking about today, clowns and jokers? What would that make the president who's golfing while the world burns? Listen, there's a huge story that everyone in the media has missed except yours truly. You say, oh, come on, Mike, don't be so egotistical. Well, I'm going to give you the story, and then you're going to say, he's right or he's wrong. A huge, huge story happened, and no one in the media is reporting it as it is. And the story is that in Hawaii, the alleged birthplace of the president, the incumbent governor, Neil Abercrombie, a protege for life of Barack Obama, a protege of his for life, lost in the primary. And Abercrombie, by the way, is a lifer left winger. I mean, a real one. A covertly socialist Democratic member of the United States House of Representatives until he resigned in 2010 to seek the governorship. This guy was as far left as you can find without wearing a red beret or a red scarf with the Khmer Rouge. He is the first governor since William Quinn to lose re-election in Hawaii since 1962 and the only governor to fall in a primary. So you say, well, what does it have to do with Obama? Well, you see, Obama and he were family. Well, sort of like family. In fact, Obama said that Neil Abercrombie was family. In fact, Obama cut television ads and radio ads for Neil Abercrombie, and Abercrombie lost in a Democrat state that's really a welfare state. I mean, they live off the mainland. They suck the mainland dry on federal taxes. It's a welfare state in Hawaii, as sure as any can be. Democrats through and through, left wing is true and true. They love big government. They love big unions. They love sitting under a coconut tree and collecting a fat check and hating America. So the governor, who's a certified left-winger, loses in his own state in a primary against another Democrat. Listen to the ads that Obama cut for Neil Abercrombie, and Abercrombie lost 67 to something 27. Listen to the ads. Go ahead.
Aloha, Hawaii. This is President Barack Obama. You know, Governor Neil Abercrombie is like Ohana to me. He knew my parents before I was a twinkle in their eye. He was one of the first people anywhere to step up and support me for president. So you could say that Governor Abercrombie has had my back since before I was born. And that's what Neil's all about. He looks out for us in Hawaii. He gets our back. To do that, Neil's had to make some gutsy decisions. He tackled a budget crisis. He made smart investments in education so that Hawaii's kids have every opportunity to succeed. And he goes to work every single day fighting to strengthen middle-class families and to give more families the opportunity to work their way into the middle class. No matter the challenge, Neil does what's best for Hawaii. Yeah. He's got our values and our priorities. His commitment to Hawaii runs deep, just like mine. I value him as a partner, and because of Neil's work, Hawaii's best days
are ahead. What's the funeral music in the background? Well, it was a funeral, because although our esteemed president, who was allegedly from Hawaii, considered Neil Abercrombie a lifetime buddy because they're buddies in terms of their left-wing ideology. And by the way, Abercrombie outspent his opponent 10-1. Abercrombie spent 10-1 over this other guy who beat him. And remember, he was endorsed by Hawaii-born President Barack Obama. And yet, this incumbent governor got smashed. So I ask you, do you feel this historic defeat in Hawaii is a statement against Obama and a harbinger of what's coming in November? I do. There are other elements in the defeat, but I don't want to go into them. They're not as important. He beat him 67% to 32%, which is an unprecedented repudiation of an incumbent governor in Hawaii. Anyone listening to this show understand what I'm talking about? I realize you didn't hear it on any other show because no one understands this as well as I do. Believe me, I believe the Democrats, especially Obama, is losing influence over voters in general, never mind just voters in Hawaii. Despite the political endorsements from the president, Hawaii Governor Neil Abercrombie on Saturday became the state's first governor to lose a primary. Did you hear that? And with this loss, Neil Abercrombie becomes just the second governor to not win re-election in the state's history. It will end his 40-year political career. And this is a big deal because Obama endorsed him. Listen to clip number two, which is a radio ad our president ran for the loser. Listen to two.
Aloha. My friend Neil Abercrombie is the inspiring leader that Hawaii needs right now. He has the experience, independence, and character to be a great governor. I've known Neil my entire life, and I know that he will create jobs for Hawaii's families, improve our schools, and help drive a new clean energy economy throughout the islands.
Okay, we've heard it all before. All right, you get the picture. He lost anyway. And what's interesting to me is that the new mantra of Obama and the left is that they're for the middle class when the exact opposite is true. They're the most ideologically anti-middle class cadre that's ever taken over this country. They hate the middle class. They've been steeped in leftist ideology from the time they were off mother's milk and on beer. The middle class is the bourgeoisie to them. The bourgeoisie is the hated enemy. The hated enemy of the president, the hated enemy of the left in this country has always been the middle class. And so they understand now that the middle class, the fat, dumb, cow-like middle class in America is slowly recognizing who they really are. And so their message has become that they're in favor of helping the middle class. Nothing can be farther from the truth. That's story number one. The looting under the guise of civil rights in St. Louis is another story. You know about that story? A young man was shot by a cop, unarmed young man, and the civil rights activists went down there and set off the riots under the guise of civil rights. The only ones who are not present yet are the out-of-town travelers who've been busy trying to stir up hatred somewhere else. But they looted, shotguns, a convenience store was burned down, police officers were beaten up. This started as a protest, but it ended with looting because they always use civil rights as a front for looting. So we have a lot of problems here. There's a picture on my website that can make you very sick, but I chose to put it up. It's of a seven-year-old Muslim boy holding a decapitated head of a Syrian soldier on his father's Facebook page. Now, of course, the head is covered with a strip of whiteout. The boy, though, is smiling. This is a seven-year-old Muslim being taught that cutting off the head of an enemy is glorious and for Allah. I ask you, can we survive in this country when we teach our seven-year-olds not to cut heads off, which is, of course, not what I'm suggesting, but not only to turn the other cheek, but to roll over and play dead when anyone threatens them? So when the Islamists say that we're coming to get you, I worry about that. I really worry about that. I worry about it especially when we have, I don't know how to put it, I've called them Islamic friendly, the Muslim sisterhood is running America. There's other ways to put it. Do you think it's all by accident that the Christians are being driven out of the Middle East? Do you think that that picture, that medieval picture, that picture from the Middle Ages of Christians and others fleeing the Islamists while the world does nothing? That the jihadists begin their caliphate in Iraq by stoning women to death, and the so-called fake women's movement has nothing to say? Instead, they protest old white Republican men who are safe? Do you think this world of ours can survive with such inner hatred and inner turmoil, especially when we have a golfer as president? I don't. I don't know how much longer we can go on. He's on vacation, except for a fundraiser, while the world is in absolute turmoil. Thank God we did offer that our military has been able to drop some humanitarian supplies. Thank God that they've been bombing the Islamo-terrorists, the Islamic fascists. But it's not enough. It's not enough at all. I don't have a real question for you. I'm giving you some of the stories that have been eating me alive. Don't ignore the story of what's going on in St. Louis. It's a big story. Looting under the guise of civil rights is how I put it on my website. Others have put it another way. How else would you put it? How would you phrase that story? Well, the Mail Online, which has the pictures of the story, says, Our family didn't ask for this. Relatives of unarmed black teens shot dead by police condemn St. Louis riot, claiming violence is not what Mike would want. You see, Michael Brown, age 18, was shot dead in the street by police officers near St. Louis. There was a vigil held in honor of the teen. But outside agitators quickly had this descend into chaos. Angry crowds of black youth then gathered at police headquarters to protest his death, and they started chanting, "No justice, no peace." Gee, I wonder where they got that from. Then, of course, they went about their normal business. They started to loot, smashed storefront windows, pilfered goods, as others smashed windows of parked cars. And that's the story. That's the story. So let's take some calls on the Savage Nation. Daniel on WABC in NYC. This is the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Michael, I think the people are waking up finally to see how incompetent this president is. It has nothing to do with color. He's the most incompetent man in office in our history.
Well, we all agree he's incompetent, but he's not that incompetent when it comes to championing his far-left extremist out-of-touch agenda. He's very competent in pushing that forward, wouldn't you say?
Yes, but, you know, it's scary that a man, he's so disconnected from us. And what really sickens me is how the press continue to back him.
Well, it's not the press. It's a few fools like Thomas Friedman, who was always a clown. Thomas Friedman of the New York Times has been disgraced for many years now. He lives in his own world, you know, buttered up by Sulzberger, the inheritance case there. But no one takes Thomas Friedman seriously. He gave a puffball interview with the president, trying to make the president look good, during which the president looked more foolish than ever. But the issue is not them. The issue is, what do you do with an incompetent extremist president who's out of touch not only with the American people, but with his own party? The Hispanic people in this country do not want amnesty for illegal aliens. They do not want it. And yet he's going to go ahead with this and destroy this country. How do you stop him? That's the question.
It's up to the American people to get off their butts and get out and vote and start getting...
Whoa. It doesn't matter if we vote. It doesn't matter if we vote. This character doesn't care about the vote. This character will use paralegal means to grant amnesty to illegal aliens when he doesn't have the authority to do so. It's the single biggest issue of your life. Because once he grants amnesty to 35 million or more illegal aliens, never mind the government's statement of 11 million, they've been stuck at that figure for 10 years. It was a lie 10 years ago. I've been calling it 30 million. How many is it now? What percentage of this population are non-citizens? You think it's only 11 million? It's probably 11 million in two cities. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Burn, baby, burn. And, of course, the golfer-in-chief has not yet been heard from. The outside agitators have not arrived yet to see if they can make the rest of St. Louis burn to the ground. And the golfer-in-chief is threatening to use his pen and his stool to grant amnesty to, what, 30, 50, 60 million illegal aliens. The Middle East is burning because of Obama. And, by the way, don't exclude Hillary Clinton from that puzzle. Her policies are what caused the Arab winter. She is the one who did this. This was funded by Soros. The architect, so far as I can tell, of the Arab Spring was none other than Zbigniew Brzezinski. It was enacted first in Libya, which has now descended into chaos. They almost erected the Muslim Brotherhood. I almost called them the Muslim Gutterhood. The Muslim Gutterhood to running Egypt, which, by the way, was one of those things that Hillary Clinton wanted. She wanted the Muslim Gutterhood to run Egypt. McCain went there screaming in Egypt for the Muslim Gutterhood to take over. But the Egyptian people threw the Muslim Gutterhood out and put in the military. They put the Muslim Gutterhood where they belong, which is in prison. The Muslim Gutterhood are the brothers, cousins of ISIS, the brothers, cousins of Hamas. So don't think these things are happening by accident. Let's go to some of the callers. It's Blue Monday on the Savage Nation. Joe on WABC, go ahead, please. What's on your mind, Joe?
Hi, yes, Michael. I support Amnesty for lots of good positive reasons. I think they contribute to society, they boost the economy, they fix roofs, they...
Wait, hold on, please. If you want to have a discussion, I'd love to have it. Who's they fix roofs?
Well, perhaps these people that you disparage so much, these illegal immigrants who work...
Sir, wait a minute. You mean all immigrants are working, including the two-year-olds that are being ushered in by Obama? The two-year-olds now are fixing roofs? Where?
Let me see. These people...
Wait, sir, you're mumbling. I asked you a question. You made an idiotic statement that immigrants all work. That's what you're saying. Isn't that what you just said? Does that include the Guatemalan women and children who he's bringing in now?
They're related to Native Americans, these people. They're related to, they're genetically related to
Now you're changing it to some ethnocentric nonsense. You just said they all work here. Now you're saying they're related to American Indians. So what are you saying?
So what? Should we throw out the Native Americans, too? We should deport them to Guadalajara?
Sir, you're not making any sense. What does illegal alien have to do with Native American?
Do Native Americans have sovereign rights on in the reservation?
Yeah, and they have casinos. They're doing very well indeed. Did you know that many Indians on reservations make $90,000 a year tax-free? Are you aware of that?
You have advocated taxing Native Americans.
Are you aware of that? Stop shooting, running off at the left-wing mouth. The Native Americans are doing better than you, which is why they're not calling the show. The reason you're calling the show is you're a loser. Why do you identify with illegal aliens? What is in it for you? Tell me how you gain if the tax base is diminished by them. How do you gain by that?
Okay, the Native Americans don't have, they're thrown out recently through Julie Sweeney, comedian of Saturday Night Live for Father Worker.
Joe, you're a very, very ill man. Can I suggest that you hang up, take a deep breath, and call 911? Joe, I realize that it's the middle of the month, but you've run short on your meds quite early. Please, call 911. It's not too late, Joe.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Stuck in the middle with you. You ever feel like you're stuck in the middle of something? Hey, I want to ask you something. Hey, listen, remember on Friday I came up with a possible solution to the rise of radical Islam in the Middle East, and my idea was to drop a million bottles of airline vodka in little plastic bottles in the desert sands, along with a million Viagra pills in heat-proof containers, along with a million copies of, let's say, Penthouse or Playboy, if they still print those. And I'm saying maybe they put down their guns and focus on making love, not war. You see, I think part of the problem is that the message hasn't gotten out to them. It's why they're still doing what they've been doing for 1,000 years. It could all be pent-up sexual frustration. I mean, after all, they're all waiting for sex in the next world with virgins. How does that feel to you? Does that work out well? I mean, does anyone ever ask a question about that? You mean your entire life is waiting to have sex with virgins in the next world? And no one on the earth says, are you crazy? That's your entire existence? So I would say that maybe just the Viagra, the Penthouse, the pills, we might be able to liberate some of these guys from their pain. Maybe they would stop cutting off heads, burning churches, killing Christians, killing other religious minorities, blowing up buildings. Who knows? It could all be sexual frustration. In that sense, I'm very Freudian about this. What do you think about my idea? It's the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. KCMO, Dick, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Yes, Michael, I think the United States should go back into Iraq with everything that we've got and kill all of these Muslim fanatics and go from there and root them out all across the world until they're completely destroyed. What do you think?
Well, here's the problem. How do you determine who the fanatics are?
Well, I'm talking about the ISIS and the rest of these groups.
Well, we certainly have the weaponry and we know where they are. They're no longer dispersed around the world as they once were. They now have a caliphate, don't they, and a leader. So how hard is it to say, well, they're our enemy. They've said they're our enemy. They said they're going to kill us. I mean, we do have the weaponry to go there and take them off the planet and atomize them.
What do you think the American people are going to do to every Muslim in this country when one of their terrorist cells drops some kind of a bomb or a weapon to...
That's easy to predict what Americans will do. They'll go to diversity training. They'll all buy a copy of the Quran to understand why the Muslims hate them. They will go to interfaith meetings in their synagogues and churches to see what they can do to make Muslims like them more. That's a simple answer.
I don't don't think there'll be any synagogues left.
Oh, no, no, no. There'll be no retribution against Muslims in America, nor should there be. It's because of America's evil ways that they would blow up another building in this country or another 9/11. It's our fault that it would happen. I mean, that's the liberal thought process, is it not?
Yeah, but I think...
Yeah, well, you see, that's the thing. 855-400-7282. Can I have a good time? Is it okay for me to now have a good time yet on the Savage Nation? No, no one's calling about my idea for dropping Viagra instead of bombs. I mean, it was a peaceful idea. You drop Viagra, the little liquor bottles, and the magazines. You know, make love, not war. Does that work for you? No one even wants to joke with me today, this series. I don't blame you. It's 11th of August. You're not on vacation. The president is on vacation. The world is on fire. And he's golfing. He once dismissed ISIS as a JV team. And now he's dropped a few bombs on them while partying in the South Africa of America called Martha's Vineyard. And that's it. That's the world we live in. We do not live in a participatory democracy where if we did, he'd be thrown out of office. See, they, I have to explain something. If this were England or whatever, they have the kind of system they have is certainly different than ours. We live in a dictatorship punctuated by a semblance of democracy every 4 years. But in between those votes, we live in a dictatorship. Right now, we're stuck in a dictatorship with a monster in the White House. And the fact of the matter is, if we lived in a participatory democracy of the type that they have in England, there'd be a vote of no confidence and he'd be thrown out of office. They would remove him. So you say, well, who would you get then? Anyone. I would say any Democrat that might be waiting in the wings, no matter how awful that Democrat is, would not be as extremist or as nuts as Obama is. And that's the problem. And the only people who can save us, as I've said to you for months now, is his own party. I keep repeating that to you. Neville Chamberlain is the model. Neville Chamberlain was a Labourite, the left-wing government of England. He went to Germany. He pacified Hitler. He came back with a note that says peace is at hand. President Hitler and I spoke, and the Anglo-German Accord, naval agreement is in place. We'll never go to war again. Hip, hip, hooray. And then Hitler invaded the next day. Okay. So they then went, and they, in his own party, in the Labour Party, threw Neville Chamberlain out. They got rid of him. They realized he was a clear and present danger, not only to his own party, but to the nation of England, the empire at the time, the British Empire. That's what should be happening inside the Democratic side right now. The man is out of control. He is lazy, he's extremist, and he's very, very deadly. And he's not a lame duck president. Do you understand that? 855-400-7282. Many topics. Many, many topics. Let's go to Mr. Hector in Texas. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Hector. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I just wanted to say that immigration seems to be the most overgeneralized political topic, and it's not really. It seems as though it's an all-or-nothing thing, and it's actually more specific than that.
Well, could you be more specific than that?
Well, like, for example, where immigrants come from is very important, and not just from which country, but from which area. Just like here, you have people from certain parts that do better than in other parts. Other countries, it works the same way. You can get Chinese from a certain area that are very successful, or you get Chinese from another area that aren't very successful.
Well, that's right, but that means a nation should have a rational immigration policy. A sane nation has borders for a reason. It's to keep out Ebola, for example. So Obama and his moronic CDC is bringing Ebola here. In other words, we had a border to keep them out. He's flying them in. We have a border to keep out deadbeats who are coming in to sit on the welfare rolls, and he's bringing them in by the thousands. You're 100% right. You can have an immigration policy, but you have to decide which immigrants are productive, which immigrants will fit best in the nation. You don't twist the nation around for the immigrant. You want immigrants who fit into the nation. I think that's what you're saying, aren't you?
Right, right. And that's what I meant, that it's not a all or nothing.
I agree 100%. I'm not saying no immigration. That would be insane. But don't you want to have a rational policy which says, okay, we want immigrants from this country, this area. Let me give you an example. Hector, Canada, great example. Canada's a socialist nation. But Canada has a rational immigration policy. Somewhere around 20 years ago, the Chinese, many of them, were coming in the ninth month of pregnancy, and they were delivering their baby in Canada and becoming instant Chinese citizens. They were using the birthright citizenship game, which is being used now by so many, to flood our system. What happened was a gentleman of Chinese descent who was a powerful politician in Canada said, wait a minute, this is crazy. We don't want all of these wards of the state arriving here and dumping babies on our shore. And he eliminated, with his, you know, cohorts, the birthright citizenship law in Canada was changed. It no longer applied. Canada now has a very stringent immigration policy. They don't care what your race is. They care that you have $100,000 minimum to invest in a business. Doesn't that make sense?
Yeah, oh yeah, it certainly does. And I just think when people just overgeneralize it, I don't understand why it gets framed that way. And I'll even hear people say things like, well, we're all a nation of immigrants. And I'll sort of compare it to another overgeneralization. I'll say, well, yeah, well, we're also a nation of people who wear shoes. Does that mean just anybody's going to come in? You know, it just
that statement of we're a nation of immigrants is so 100 years old. It's so idiotic. As is, give me your tired and your poor, the Emma Lazarus statement on the Statue of Liberty. That was inscribed on the Statue of Liberty when there was no welfare state. In other words, if you say, give me your tithe and your poor, what, a billion people should come in and what, we should become their slaves to support them? It means nothing anymore. We're a nation of immigrants. That was then, this is now. We don't need any more floods of non-productive immigrants who are not supporting the state, but fundamentally sucking the state dry, Hector. I don't care what the race is. Thanks. 50% of the American people don't work. So this is a big story that needs a discussion. I'm all for a discussion on immigration. I'd love to hear that discussion going on in Congress. I would like 6 months of debate in Congress on the immigration question. I'd like to hear all sides of the argument. Arguments which say grant all of them amnesty, refuted by those who say, are you crazy? I've run the course. Here they are. All the way to the other side saying, I want no immigration at all, not another person, until we sort out who we have here. We can't decide who we need here. And then somewhere in the middle we'll come to the conclusion, the right conclusion, about what our immigration policy should be going forward. But to have one psychotic wacko left-winger called Barack Obama or Joe Smith makes no sense. Who the hell gives him the authority to determine for the rest of our life what this country will look like? He's not a dictator. He's just a man. And a flawed man. A mentally flawed man who is so out of touch with reality that he goes on a golfing vacation to the apartheid of America, Martha's Vineyard. You talk about hypocrisy. Every day he lies about the millionaires and billionaires, the millionaires and billionaires, the millionaires and billionaires. And where does he go on vacation? The millionaires and the billionaires. Talks about racial division and unfairness. Where does he go on vacation? Lily White, Martha's Vineyard. How can you take this? The man withdraws our troops precipitously from Iraq. The Iraqis wanted a retaining force. He said he didn't want it. He's lying about that. Look what's happened now. Look who stepped into the vacuum. And what's the solution now? To back the so-called rebels in Syria? That's what he's calling for now? The very same individuals who were the cousins of ISIS now, we should send them more weapons that they can steal and turn on our Christian brethren? Who is in charge of this? Who's running this country? I have a fear that I know who's running the country, and it may not be as disorganized as you may think. From the perspective of world order, it's disorganized. Disorganized. But from the perspective of what image they have for the future of the world, I tell you, my friends, it's not so disorganized. I think we've said enough on this Monday, and I think it's too early for me to get this angry. I was supposed to take today off, but I can't take any time off. I really can't. It's impossible. I mean, normally August is, you know, you blow away shows. Every show to me is as important as the one before it and the one after it. Every show, because you're, look, if you're taking time out of your day to listen to this program in the midst of August, in the midst of vacation, and this, what are you listening for? Okay, you want a little relief. You want ideas to bounce off your head. You may say, all right, look, I don't know. I don't agree with this guy on most things, but at least he can present his point of view and let me think about what I believe. You need a little mental stimulation. So I'm the Dutch uncle that used to exist in the American family, the uncle that you all used to argue with. Or I'm the tough professor that you may have had or wish you had. Or I'm the tough preacher that you wish to God still existed in the churches of America. Or I'm the tough rabbi that doesn't exist in America anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. The guy who gives you a position that you can relate to one way or the other. I agree, I don't agree. At least he says what he believes. At least I can use my mind again with this guy. I mean, he's not CBS or NBC. Oh, speaking of those useless idiots, the big three networks avoid calling the Islamo-fascist ISISs terrorists. They call them militants and rebels. You'll not believe this. ABC's World News and CBS Evening News labeled the genocidal radical Muslim maniacs militants. NBC Nightly News used the more benign statement rebels in their coverage of this maniacal, genocidal, insane a group's attacks on the Kurdish part of Iraq. Listen to the closest that a journalist at ABC or any other big three got to using the terrorist label. It was Scott Paley's teaser at the very top of CBS Evening News in clip four.
Two heavily armed F-18 fighter jets launching from the carrier USS Bush in the Persian Gulf, roaring high above northern Iraq,
roaring,
where ISIS militants were at work shelling forces trying to defend the critical city of Erbil.
The airstrikes are also aimed at supporting Kurdish Peshmerga fighters, U.S. allies overrun by ISIS rebels this week. Critics accuse the president of playing domestic politics and that limited airstrikes will do little to stop the relentless advance of ISIS rebels.
Back in battle, the president orders U.S. warplanes to attack Sunni Muslim extremists in northern Iraq to stop a campaign of terror.
500-pound laser-guided bombs hit a field gun Islamic militants were using to shell the city of Erbil in northern Iraq.
Right, you got the picture. With useless idiots like this in the media, it won't be long before you're speaking a foreign language and buying a prayer rug at Costco. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is Hotel Ozone here on the Savage Nation. August at the Hotel Ozone at the Savage Nation. Summertime is a time when we usually slow it down a bit and take an easier, shot at the world news and go into other things, but it's hard to do. The world is in flames. The world is in flames, and we know why. What's the point of even saying the reason why? Nature abhors a vacuum? Well, hello. There's no vacuum. It may be by design. According to experts, the Islamo-fascist ISIS group is already inside the United States. Where? How close inside the United States? Is it instructing the CIA, the FBI, the DOD? Yes. Yes, through their sister groups and brother groups in diversity training, telling Christians to be ashamed of their religion and to be sensitive to certain religions.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep all deep. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday.
All right, fat. Katz, thank you very much. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. We're not yet in Tuesday. We're still in Monday. And I am trapped between things. So many different things, politically, emotionally, somewhere between heaven and the other place. And every day I wake up and say, how do I get to the other place without crossing the river? I mean, that's really life itself when you think about it. We all want to get to that other, to this place called heaven, rather. We don't want to go to the other place. How do we get to heaven without crossing the river? That's the question. So many of us try visionary experiences with drugs. We try mescaline, LSD, allegedly drugs that take us to heaven. But often the streets are littered with the exact opposite. If you look at Berkeley, California, you see people wandering around blowing bubbles who were leftovers from the 1960s. They tried to achieve visionary experiences with LSD and mescaline, and they wound up in the gutter. But if you look at religions, if you look at the great paintings of history, you will see visions of heaven. Visionary heaven, fairylands, folklore, religion are all about heaven, aren't they? Our dream for a new government in America, which will allegedly give us relief from the hell that this man has put us in, is just another dream. We want that light. We want that unnatural intensity of coloring. We want that unnatural significance of the golden age. We want the golden age. That's what we want. We want a shining to come down to us. We want significant light to shine down upon us, to come down out of the skies, out of the landscape, to bring beauty to us, in other words. So this is not new to our time. If you go back to the ancient traditions, every religion, every tradition, you find this dream of the Garden of Eden. The Greco-Roman tradition, you find the Garden of the Hesperides, the Elysian Plain, the fair island of Luke, to which Achilles was translated. Now, I may mispronounce some of these places, but I know what I'm talking about. I have an amazing education and an amazing memory. Forgive me for slipping into this in the midst of this pragmatic talk about the situation that we are in and the world is in right now. But really what it comes down to is how do we get away from hell and go back to heaven, the relative heaven of this world before the Cyclops took over the White House. It's like a Cyclops took over the White House. But every time and in every place, people were dreaming of this light-filled paradise. Islands. We all love islands. I don't. I've spent too many years in them to know that they're not paradise. Not paradise at all. In fact, if you live on an island long enough, you realize it's a prison. See, most of the things that we dream are heavenly turn out to be prisons at the end of the day. But that's a philosophical statement. And I'm not really going somewhere with this with a specific conclusion about vote for, you know, Mac Jones or anything like that. I'm just kind of talking because it's August at the Hotel Savage. But we're talking about this magic that we all want, these magical, lovely islands in the folklore of America. But they exist in the ancient Celts and the Japanese. Wherever you go, there's always this magical land, the other world of the Hindus, the land that we read about in the Ramayana, which is watered by lakes and with golden lotuses. Rivers, beautiful rivers, blessed by the morning sun, adorned by golden beds of red lotus. Wherever you go, whatever the language, whatever the civilization, whatever the people, whatever the society, the same characteristics appear. Common to virtually all of the religions and all of the peoples, except one. A dream of paradise without killing. Not a dream of raping virgins in the next world, but a paradise on this earth. A paradise that most people can understand. And unless you have a philosophical understanding of the enemy, you're never going to defeat them. Unfortunately, the people in the military who have a philosophical understanding of the enemy have been rooted out by Mr. Hussein Obama. Mr. Hussein Obama and his minions have thrown everyone out of the military who know exactly what the enemy thinks and exactly what the enemy is about and exactly what the enemy, the vulnerabilities of the enemy, rather. They've all been rooted out of the military and out of the intelligence agencies. And so you see my little discussion here at the opening of hour number two on the Monday show of the Savage Nation on this insignificant 11th of August, 2014, is not so insignificant after all, is it? But I'm just talking is all I'm doing. I have no power whatsoever. Influence, maybe. I don't know. I doubt it. I have no influence. Think of all the community organizers. Think of those funded by George Soros. Think of all of the brain trusts in the media. They have the influence, not me. Take a look at the average cow walking around in America. Cows would have more sense, more common sense. A cow that hears his neighbor cow dying in a slaughterhouse would have more sense than the average American on vacation. Walking around bloated, 300 pounds, 350 pounds, varicose veins bursting in their legs, blue veins in their arms as they lick the ice cream cones, devouring everything edible and inedible in sight. Click, click. Picture, picture. Click, click. Go up the hill, go down the hill. Have we got that yet? Let's go to the art museum. Take a picture of every picture. We got that. We saw that. We saw this. We saw that. Let's devour that. Let's devour this. Click, click. Take that. Varicose veins bursting in their legs. Click, click. Clack, clack. Clackety clack. Don't talk back. Anyway, that's my opening. I've had a little fun here on the Savage Nation. Let's take some calls on the program. I really like talking about heaven, and you know where, the other place, and how all of us dream of this heaven. And it goes back to the ancient worlds, Greek, Roman, Celts, Teutons. Everybody believes of this wondrous world and these paradises that we all want, the New Jerusalem. We all want the New Jerusalem, don't we? Don't we all want the New Jerusalem? You find them in the literature of Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam. And why? What are they all looking for? And by the way, that was classical Islam before it was distorted by Wahhabi Islam. What we're facing now is the curse of Wahhabism, which is a new form of Islam, the most virulent form ever invented. Because there was a time that Islam was relatively peaceful. Was not always like this. There were times in history when Islam got along with its neighbors. But not anymore. Not anymore. So man constantly seeks heaven. Man constantly tries to create heaven, whether it's in his own house, car. Let's say you buy a car. I'm going to talk about heaven and you know where, the other place, for a few minutes. I have to do this for a while, only because I want to. I realize it's out of the ken of talk radio. After all, we're just knuckle-dragging right-wing conservatives. We don't know anything about literature, nothing about religion, nothing about history. No, that's only known by Thomas Friedman, the stooge, Obama's mouthpiece at the New York Times. They're the literate ones. Only liberals are the literate ones. Why, those of us on the other side of the aisle can have no education whatsoever, no knowledge whatsoever. They're the knowledgeable ones. So I will then, in my own way, try to explain to you what I'm talking about and where I'm coming from here on the Savage Nation. Let's start with the simple. I'm a champion for America's borders, language, and culture. The Savage Nation, Michael Savage. Borders, language, culture. Does that immediately exclude me from the paradise the liberals have created for themselves? Well, I would hope not, since every nation through history has been defined by a border, by its common language, and by its culture. But not in America. We bomb others to preserve their borders, their language, and their culture. But we erase our borders and bastardize our language and decimate and spit upon our own culture. How is that possible? Well, it's an example of what happens when a nation has an autoimmune disease. I've explained this to you before. I've done it many times for many years. Remember, I'm the master chess player of ideas on the radio, whether you know it or not. I realize my accent sounds like that of a truck driver from Brooklyn. Doesn't matter. If you can get past your own bias and prejudice, you may realize that some truck drivers are smart. Some of them know more than you do, even though you may have a degree in something or other. So let's leave it at that. Borders, language, and culture. You puncture the cell wall of a plant, and the plant dies. The protoplasmic interior oozes out, and bad stuff oozes in. You pierce the cell membrane of any animal cell. Likewise, the cell dies. Why? Because the good stuff oozes out and bad stuff oozes in. You puncture the border of a nation, what happens? Same as a cell. The bad stuff oozes in and the good stuff oozes out. You see, this is how it works, whether it's in biology on a cellular level or nationally on a nation level. And so those of us sitting here watching our nation die in front of our eyes from an autoimmune disease run by a retroviral political structure. That's a nice phrase. An autoimmune disease run by a retroviral political structure. Very interesting, Michael. A plus to Mike today. Yay, yay. I just hit a home run like Babe Ruth while walking around the bases. But it's an awful lot for you to chew off. So I'll go back and talk about heaven and you know where. Because we're all looking for heaven. And how do we get there? Well, we vote. We're going to vote in November. We're going to throw the bums out. We're going to have jobs for the middle class. Lower taxes. Everyone's going to be happy. There's going to be a chicken in every pot and pot in every chicken. That's right. That's another one of my phrases from the 90s. Politicians promised us chicken in every pot, but they gave us pot in every chicken. Wow, was I right. Boy, are they putting pot into every chicken in America, aren't they? But then again, since I said it, it didn't exist. But therefore, it does exist for those of you who listen to this show for 20 years religiously, or buy my books, or sing my songs, or knit garlands for the summer solstice, and send them to me in the mail. Rambling on I go. I'd rather not talk about specifics for a moment. I'd rather not talk about the looters in Missouri. I would rather not talk about the Gaza ceasefire. I would rather not talk about Hillary Clinton's shocking pictures over the weekend of her on a beach in the Hamptons. I would rather not talk about the federal agency spending millions on union business. I would rather not talk about our dear leader on a golfing vacation in the South Africa of America. Oh, by the way, our dear leader will give a statement on Iraq at 4:45 p.m. Eastern Time. Wow, that's in 30 minutes. So that means in about an hour and a half. He's always late. He's a prima donna. He's the only president in history that always shows up an hour late. There was one other dictator, I mean leader, who did this on a regular basis to keep them waiting on pins and needles. Oh, yes. Little mustache, spoke German. In fact, he wrote in his books that when giving a speech, always show up late to get the crowd agitated so that when you finally do speak, they believe that you are more important than you really are and more significant, for sure, than you really are. And we know how that ended. Rather badly. Not only for the little man with the mustache, but for his own people who worshipped him. Yeah, things happen. Takes time, though. It takes time, but you don't know what's going to happen when you have a man with a pen and a stool and nothing to check and balance him, with an absentee Congress and a Quisling press. Quisling press. Quisling press. A Quisling press. So on those two words of a Quisling press, I'll take a break on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to A Perplexing World with your vocal master, Michael Savage, trying to bring you sanity in an insane world. And I know sanity is a matter of degree and perspective. I know many of you understand that you're on the edge. And you contrive, nevertheless, to live outside the asylum, even though you sense you should be in an asylum, because that's the world we live in. Very few are in the asylum today. Instead, they're in politics or the university. That's the equivalent of the asylum. And so now we have asylum inmates running the universities, asylum inmates running the world. And although the world goes up in smoke, people die, heads cut off, villages, people on a mountaintop, I thought it was like biblical, he goes off golfing. That's the mark of a sane man? I don't think so. It's so beyond sane, I don't know how to put it. Now, I'm not saying that everything is horrible and frightening. Not everything that you touch or see or smell coming out of the White House is sinister or disgusting. Not that everything this man does is charged with a hateful significance. No, I'm not saying that. I didn't say that at all. You probably believe it, not me. The phone number is 855-400-7282. My clowns and jokers of the Savage Nation. My clowns and jokers of the Savage Nation. If you're high on something, you probably have enjoyed this last 30 minutes more than you've enjoyed shows in years because I'm speaking in riddles. Although I'm making sense, to, both to myself and to millions of listeners, I would think that those of you who are really high probably have enjoyed this these last two monologues more than any I've done in years. I did that just to entertain you. It's try to bring you back into the realm of sanity, my world. See, my friends, when you're young, you're basically insane. If you actually look at what sanity is, all children are insane from the perspective of what sanity is. That's why we love children and pets, because they act in an insane manner. Like my dog, Teddy, for example. I consider him my personal bohemian hipster bum. Think about it. He has no job, like most illegal immigrants. Lays on the floor. He gets fed. Only in his case, he has to smile once in a while. Lick my hand, make me feel good. But in this insane nation, they bite the hand that feeds them. And yet we feed them more and now say, we'll reward you. Bring in more of you. We need more of you to lay around the streets and do nothing. We need more of you because we're a sane people. See where I'm coming from?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We are talking about being trapped between heaven and the other place in America today, and in the world for that matter. I mean, you don't know what's going on in Ukraine right now, but the Ukrainians are getting ready for a final assault on the city of Donetsk. Do you know how many people once lived in that city before the Ukrainians started to shell it and assault it, allegedly in the name of taking it back from the evil Russian sympathizers? It was once a big city. Millions of people were there. Now it's sort of like Stalingrad. There's a humanitarian crisis that is occurring right now in Ukraine because of the assaults by those who say that they want to take back this area from the Russian sympathizers. And even the European Union is getting involved, saying to Putin, don't carry out unilateral military action in eastern Ukraine under an aid pretext. Oh, no. Russia cannot offer any humanitarian aid to the region. Humanitarian aid can only go to the individuals on a mountaintop or to those in Gaza. And yet there's a tremendous humanitarian situation, a hell on earth, going on right now. Russia has 30,000 troops, which they're probably going to send, and they're not going to let them take that city. Again, I don't want to get stuck in the middle of this. I got an amazing email over the weekend on the subject that we're talking about, because it's not even in the news anymore. All you heard about was Israel this, Israel that. But there's been thousands killed in Ukraine, both sides of this fight. Not one word from the Americans. At least 1,100 civilians killed since the Kiev government launched its so-called anti-terrorist operations aimed at reclaiming dozens of cities and towns seized by Russian separatists. So this is another situation that we're not following at all. No one cares. Meanwhile, Putin today threatens to break Ukraine's blockade of Donetsk as rebels vow another Stalingrad. And today, a key ally of the ex-boxer who I respect very much, Klitschko, was killed today by a sniper. Killed today by a sniper. It's unbelievable what's going on in the world. So I'm talking in a way about the algorithm of sanity that we're living through. It seems that the world has gone from a relatively peaceful place, relatively, into this horror, into this negatively transfigured world under Obama. This negatively transfigured world under Obama. And he's not through yet. No, I'm telling you. I'm not saying that everything in the world as a result of Obama, from the stars in the sky to the dust under your feet, is sinister or disgusting. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying that he's negatively transformed the world, wherever you look. And he gets away with it because of stooges like Thomas Friedman of the New York Times. It's not the first time that we see a negatively transfigured world. It occurs to people who are schizophrenic on a regular basis. Only now the world itself is like that of a schizophrenic having nightmares. Many of you go on drug trips, and then you wind up by accident into this negative world. You think you're going to have heaven, but you wind up in the other place. But it's been around a long time. Artists have seen it. It was in Van Gogh's landscapes and the later landscapes. It was the theme of all of Kafka's stories. It was the spiritual home of Gary Cole. Goya inhabited this negative world during the years of his deafness. Browning, the poet, saw this negative world when he wrote Childe Roland. I can give you other examples of the negative visionary experience in art and literature. And many of us want to continue to live in the Mickey Mouse world of blissful visions. Blissful visions. We all want to have blissful visions. Doctor, I don't feel good. Doctor, I'm nervous. Doctor, I'm manic. Doctor, I'm depressive. Doctor, I'm bipolar. Doctor, I don't feel good. Take this pill. Doctor, I don't feel good. Take that pill. Doctor, I'm bipolar. Take this pill. Doctor, I'm anxious. Take that pill. Doctor, I can't sleep at night worrying about what's going on in the world. Take these pills. You think the doctor knows what to do? He's not a theologian, after all. He's only a pill pusher. So he pushes pills at you and you take them. Take a vacation if you don't feel good, you lunatic. Go on vacation, you'll feel better. Well, how can I feel better walking around licking an ice cream cone on Fisherman's Wharf, doctor? I don't know. I'm not a travel agent. Well, how can I feel good going to Provence and eating fetid meats and drinking wine, doctor? I don't know. I'm not a travel agent. Take this pill on vacation. If you have anxiety, call me after Labor Day because I myself have anxiety and depression on a regular basis. Even though I'm a doctor, I take the same pills I'm offering you. I know nothing. Here's the pills. Take the pills. And so Michael Savage has the answers for all of you. Between heaven and you know where, I stand here before you speaking with you about the world events. And today I've taken a digression. I admit it. Maybe I've lost 90% of my audience today. I don't know. I have no idea. But if I can't go to the Hotel Savage in August with you, radio becomes a dirge and a bore. Then it's just about Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat. Vote for Cruz, vote against Cruz, vote for Hillary, vote against Hillary. I can't do it. How boring can that be? So I then take a little trip with you. I just took a little mental trip with you since the top of this hour I've been on a trip. Now, I'm only on Diet Coke and a burrito. I mean, that's all I've ingested this afternoon. I swear to God, that's it, a Diet Coke and a burrito. I did have a sip of something else. It was a bit of an energy drink left over in the radio refrigerator, but I swear I'm as straight as a Eagle Scout today. But I should tell you that many of you are living in this place that I'm describing, in this negative visionary experience I'm describing to you. You'd like to be in bliss, and I'm sure the politicians offer you bliss, and you don't want to go into the asylum, so you go on the drug. Many of you seek drugs on your own, or you take the medical route, and you think you're going to avoid the asylum, but in a way, you're in an asylum anyway if you do that. Now, when you get to the point where you have a separation from your body, a feeling of, I don't know what they call it, deindividualization, I have another name for it today, and you literally leave your body, that's another story. But when the sense of being apart from your own body is intensified, and these negative visions make you feel that your body is more tightly packed and more dense than it is, you actually feel a transformation in your body until you finally feel reduced to being just a lump of matter, no bigger than a stone. Remember I told you that happened to me when I was going for my PhD oral interview? Remember I told you that last week? I forget what I told you, that I had that experience from tension, from what they call stress today, not tension. My father used to call it pressure, then he got a heart attack and died, but today they call it stress. Nevertheless, he called it pressure. He said, for months, he said, I feel pressure, pressure, this. Poor guy was worried, immigrant, didn't know where, you know, the business, this and that. One man, one son in college, whatever. Pressure, pressure, heart attack, boom, burst, God, boom, God, God. That's it. That's the whole thing. So what I'm saying is we all feel these things. How you deal with it is the issue. Mixture of protoplasmic inheritance, RNA, DNA, USA, all the way. Not a bad chant, but the thing is, we don't know. We don't know. If you ask doctors who performed autopsies on dead people, now I'm going to go into that world for a minute, if you don't mind. Please don't come with me into this. Please don't come in this into this room with me if you can't take it. I guess it's going to be a little cold and dark. There's not too much light in the room I'm about to take you in. If you talk with doctors who have performed autopsies on young people who've died of heart attacks, the doctor will tell you that often their arteries are relatively clear and they died of a heart attack anyway. Say, wow, what's that mean? I don't know. Ask your priest what that means. People die of spiritual deaths all the time. People can live with all sorts of medical ailments and go on. Remember I told you what Freud said? If you wake up one day and find yourself crawling on one arm and one leg, then crawl on one arm and one leg. Remember that statement I made to you? Well, what was I saying to you is that we're all fallen. We're all imperfect. No one's perfect. No one's a whole person. We may seek to be a whole person. And now I'm going to get back to the president. He's not a whole person either. He's just a man, damn it. And as such, he's an imperfect man. So why do we empower this imperfect man of the hundreds of millions of us to make decisions that will catapult the country into a hell? Who is he? Just a man. Just another man, just like you and I. What do you think, he's superhuman? How do we put so much power into one man? It's taken me almost 45 minutes of taking you on a trip for you to understand what I was saying to you. I had to go all the way back in time to bring you to the today. And what I said to you is very important today. I took you on a trip, an unmagical mystery tour. I took you to the perimeters of your own mind in some cases. And I showed you that we're all imperfect. We're all fallen. And I want you to hear something now. This fits perfectly, Robert. The supplemental audio of our president in 2008. I want you to listen for a minute, and you'll see how this fits in perfectly like a hand in a glove. Go play that.
You give me this office, and in turn, my fears, doubts, insecurities, foibles, need for sleep, family life, vacations, leisure, is gone. I mean, I am giving myself to you, and the American people.
Okay, you got it. In other words, he admitted then that he was a human being in 08 when we didn't know who he was, the unknown senator. If you give me this office, he said, my fears, doubts, insecurities, foibles, need for sleep, family life, vacations, leisure is gone. Well, we know that that's not true. He's on vacation. He needs leisure all the time. It's the golf. But do you notice he never talks anymore about his fears, doubts, insecurities, and foibles? He still has them. He's a human being, right? So why do we entrust one man to be a king who has no fears, no doubts, no insecurities, no foibles? When did he turn into some god who knows more than we do? Who said this one man knows more than I do? Or that a truck driver in America may know about various subjects? Who gave him all that power? I didn't. I didn't vote for this man. I didn't vote for this clown. I didn't vote for this joker. I didn't elect this troika to run this country off the rails. And yet they've empowered themselves as though they're gods. This is what happens when absolute power occurs. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. Which is why Nancy Pelosi would run across the aisle last week, in rage, shaking, turning white. Never seen before in Congress. It became like a Ukrainian or North Korean Senate, or Congress rather. She ran across the floor and verbally assailed a young Republican with her finger, screaming and shaking at him, saying, you are an insignificant man, meaning I am very significant, and you are nothing, sir. You are a bug to me, because I am the absolutely powerful Nancy Pelosi. Where did she get that authority? When did it occur to her that she became superhuman? Where did we in America make the turn that we permitted maniacs, egomaniacs, of such orders to arise and yet to make decisions for us that are catastrophic? When was that voted upon? They're just people. As such, they can be geniuses or morons. As people, they can be sane or insane. As people, they can be healthy or sick. And yet we take all of this hope and put it into one man, and we say, okay, you do it for us because you're a king. You're a saint. You're a sage. You know more than the average man. You're just a genius. You know exactly everything you're going to do is perfect. Whatever you do is perfect. And then they have the stooges like Thomas Friedman of the New York Times and others who will try to reconstruct the past, rewrite history like they did in the Stalinist Soviet Union, in order to confirm that the the demigod in the White House is a demigod in the White House. I'll be right back on the Savage Nation. Come on, Robert. Come on, Robert. Hit the button, Robert.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. The flawed president is about to speak momentarily. We suspect it's going to be him saying that we're in Iraq for a long time, and it's a long overdue. Iraq, as you know, because of his insane policies, his false pacifism, Iraq has descended into apocalypse with the Islamo-fascists seizing towns, crucifying people, telling them, become Muslims by noon today or we will kill all of you. The jihadists are on the march. They are crucifying people, burning churches. I don't know how else to describe it. There are no words to describe the carnage being committed in the name of Allah. So what would you expect the world to do? Let them take over all of Iraq again? What do you expect them to do? I don't give a damn what the leftists think in this country anymore. They've destroyed everything they've touched. All they think about is ripping down. See, the leftists in America are no different. Excuse me. The ACLU in America is very similar spiritually to the Islamo-fascists. Now think about what I'm saying. The Islamo-fascists in Iraq are breaking down crosses. What does the ACLU do as often as it can? Oh, now they do it. They don't crucify people. I mean, the ACLU are good liberal lawyers, maybe your son or daughter. And what do they do? What do they spend their every waking minute trying to do? Take down crosses around America. They're no different than the Islamo-fascists who are taking down crosses wherever they have the power to do so. So the ACLU and the Islamo-fascists are cousins in spirit, if not in action. And it ends up the same way. It's not like they say convert or die by noon, but the ACLU says convert to atheism and we'll help you along the way by breaking off crosses from war memorials, for example. That's their biggest problem on earth. So they take all of the money that you spend sending these cockamamie lunatics to college and then to law school, and what do they do with it? Do they try to make America a better place? No. They try to destroy America's borders, language, and culture. In that sense, they're no different than the worst enemies we have. The American left and ISIS are very similar spiritually in their goals. Listen to what I just said to you. Listen to what I just said to you. Anyway, in a few minutes, the great man who has no doubts or fears or insecurities or foibles, no need for sleep, no need for family life, no need for vacations or leisure, will be speaking and telling us that he's finally come to the conclusion on the ninth hole that the barbarians need to be stopped.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, plan to sleep on me.
All right, stop the music. The president has taken time out from his busy vacation schedule. We're expecting the drama king to speak any hour now. He was supposed to have spoken 20 minutes ago, but as you well know, he likes his drama. And he needs to build up the tension in the audience so that every word, every syllable, every pause will be pregnant with genius. He will show he has no fears, doubts, insecurities, foibles, need for sleep, family life, vacations, or leisure. He is the perfect man who knows all. In fact, back in 08, when he was running for office, he had this to say in clip number 26, which is very important, where he promised no vacations for himself as president. Let's hear
it. You give me this office, and in turn, my fears, doubts, insecurities, foibles, need for sleep, family life, vacations, leisure, is gone.
Okay. He's going to give his all to us. He meant not all. He meant some. Some part of his great self would be given to America's work. And look what he's doing. Look how selfless he is. Here he is on a well-deserved vacation in the South Africa of America, Martha's Vineyard, which is 99.8% white, where only those who are millionaires and billionaires really have houses. Because that's where he goes to think about the unfairness of American society. That's where he goes to think about the unfairness of a racially divided nation. And he's taking time out from all of that global thinking to appear before us to tell us about Iraq. I mean, think about this. Think about how selfless this man is, that he would take time out from a vacation to do this. He's not on the beach in the Hamptons with the Clintons. First Lady's not wearing a muumuu. Obama says, oh, the great man is speaking. Let's hear the great man speaking on Iraq. Go ahead, please.
To prevent terrorist forces from advancing on the city of Erbil and to protect American civilians there. Kurdish forces on the ground continue to defend their city, and we've stepped up military advice and assistance to Iraqi and Kurdish forces as they wage the fight against
ISIL. That's good. Makes sense.
At the same time, we've continued our daily humanitarian efforts to provide life-saving assistance to the men, women, and children
vacation.
Stranded on Mount Sinjar, and deployed
over a golf
USAID shirt. Disaster assistance response team to
nice
help.
Sport jacket.
Some have begun to escape their perch on that mountain, and we're working
perch.
With international partners to develop options
they're not birds.
To bring them to safety.
They're not birds.
In particular, the United Kingdom, France, and other countries
all
working
right.
with us. To
this is all very serious
assistance.
Business. Well, keep playing it. I don't care.
Meanwhile,
let's listen.
Our aircraft remain positioned to strike any terrorist forces around the mountain. Who
good.
Safety.
Kill them all. Atomize them.
This
make it 5,000 degrees over the Sunni triangle and we can all raise the American flag.
We've outlined in Iraq. Protecting American citizens. Providing advice. And
just kill the enemy. Stop talking in circles.
And joining with international partners to provide.
Kill the terrorists. We have to kill the terrorists.
As I said, when I authorized these operations,
we have to kill the terrorists. Stop with the protecting American citizens.
In Iraq.
Kill them.
The only lasting solution.
Atomize the Sunni triangle.
Come together.
5,000 degrees over the desert.
One that represents the legitimate interests of all Iraqis. And one
okay, all Iraqis. Iraqis. I care about Iraqis like I care about my rocks.
Today, Iraq took a promise.
What do they mean to me, Iraqis? How many Americans died to free those ingrates?
Today,
those ingrates, 28 million Shiites, you know what we got out of it? A barrel of sand.
Dr. Haider al-Abadi. Under the Iraqi Constitution.
Al-Abadi now someone new, from Iraqi to Al-Abadi.
A new government.
A new name, a new Alibaba, I have to remember.
Different communities. Earlier today, Vice President Biden and I called Dr. Abadi to congratulate
Dr. Abadi now.
To form a new cabinet as quickly
maybe
as
maybe Dr.
Possible.
Abadi can find the bodies buried in the sand by ISIS.
And one that represents all Iraqis.
Oh, here we go again. Iraqi again. My life's dream is to unite Iraq.
Speaker Jabouri, as they work together to form this government.
A pox upon all of them.
All Iraqi political leaders to work peacefully through the political process in the days ahead.
How much can I take?
This new Iraqi leadership has a difficult task. It has to regain the confidence.
Yeah, that's our new hope. See,
by governing inclusively.
Here we go.
By taking steps to demonstrate.
Right. Give them diversity training in Iraq.
The United States stands ready to support a government that addresses the needs and grievances of all.
Why don't you get back
Iraqi
the Humvees
people.
That were stolen first?
We're also ready to work with other countries in the region to deal with the humanitarian crisis.
Oh, what
and
countries?
Counterterrorism challenge.
There are no countries in the region.
Mobilizing that support will be easy.
Tribes in the region.
Government is in place. And these have been difficult days in Iraq.
All right, the Gulf has
faced so many challenges in its recent history.
5-10
sure
in New York.
There will be difficult days ahead, but. Just
all
as
right.
the United States will remain vigilant against the threat posed
I have a migraine
ISIS,
from this guy.
We stand ready to partner with Iraq in its fight against these terrorist forces.
There are partners again.
Without question, that effort will be advanced if Iraqis continue to build on today's progress and come together to support a new and inclusive
it's not
government.
Not them who are doing anything.
Thanks,
it's the Kurds, for God's sakes. Mr. President, what hole were you on the golf course when you gave this speech? Was it the seventh or eighth hole that you took time out from, Mr. President? I think the fee just dropped. Did we lose it, or did I cut it off on purpose? Did they lose it? They cut it off at Martha's Vineyard. They ask a question, and they cut it off right away. Look, I mean, the man had to get back to the game. I mean, look, he's sacrificing time out from a golf game to talk about the world. And Iraq's our new partner again. Wonderful. 28 million Shiites now are my partners again. How many more lives are going to be lost? Bring in the heavy equipment already. Just get rid of them in their Sunni. You know where they are. See, the thing now, let's be real. I can go from the sublime to the ridiculous and back again if you'd like me to. Let me get very blunt. Let me be the teamster. Let me be the truck driver. Let me be the butcher. Let me be the baker. Let me be the candlestick maker. And let me tell you how it is. Just bomb them into the Stone Age because they're all in one place now. They've come from all of the surrounding hellholes to join their cousins in cutting off the heads of Christians and religious minorities. They all want to die for Allah. Help them along, sir. Help them along, sir. Bring in the heavy equipment. I can't believe what I'm listening to. Again, the same rubbish, the same double talk. Going there, Iraq this, Iraq that, Iraq. They ran away. They dropped the equipment. They ran into hiding, the Iraqis. It's the Kurds who are fighting, not the Iraqis. They ran back. They ran back to the souk there to cut up meat and stuff their faces. That's all. All right, what do you want to talk about? The algorithm of sanity or what? 855-400-7282. What would you like to talk about? Larry on the web, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Wow, you Larry. Touched on so many things. You touched on so many things today. I'm not even sure where to start.
I gave everyone a psychological magical mystery tour.
You did. And, you know, if everybody would zoom out, you said earlier that none of this is happening by accident, and you're completely right. I think a lot of people agree with you. It's like a big circus, and they keep throwing sideshows at everybody so they don't see the agenda of the true power structure moving things along.
Right. The clowns and the jokers are you. The clowns and the jokers are those in the media who are used to distract us from the game players. And the clowns and the jokers in the media don't want us to see that this man is behind the chaos in the world. This man and his minions, this small cadre of revolutionaries, have almost destroyed the entire world with their warped vision.
The fact that his controllers have so much power over him that he lives in fear that if he doesn't do what he's told, he'll get jailed.
Well, let's not finish that thought. You'll notice that George Soros, who you are alleging is one of the great controllers on Earth, who was once very vocal on a daily basis, almost daily basis, during the Bush years, has not been heard from. And the reason George Soros, who is the master manipulator of this world, who is destroying the whole world, in my opinion, he funds thousands of so-called journalists who are nothing but totalitarian pimps. The man has funded lawyers to argue for the illegal aliens who will suck the system dry. Everything he can do to destroy America, he's doing, the money trader, George Soros. Notice you don't hear from him anymore because he doesn't need to be heard from. He's just able to do it all without being heard. Do you understand? That's why you don't hear from him. And so the clowns and the jokers in the media are the ones you hear from. Well, you know troops will be on the ground. Is he still, did he come back to speak? Did they give his defeat again or still? Still, yeah, was lost in Martha's Vineyard. The great leader who talks about unfairness and about the evils of the rich is in the South Africa equivalent of Martha's Vineyard, which is 99.9% white and wealthy. I want you to think about that. That's pretty amazing. He chooses to go to the millionaires and billionaires and to an almost all-white enclave on his vacation. I mean, he's not down with the folks of Africa. I mean, if he was a Schweitzer-like man, he would go over there be in solidarity with the poor people with Ebola, which you forgot about already. A week ago, it was contained in Africa, and then because the stroke of a pen and the idiot savants at the CDC, who are good at memorizing but have no common sense, they're bringing it to America, and then they tell you it's likely it'll spread here. You hear? Their Uncle Izzy, who ran a pickle stand in Brooklyn, probably had more sense than the idiot running the CDC. If he had an uncle in New York who ran a pickle stand, the guy would have more common sense and say, hey, listen, Schmendrick, you have an MD and a PhD, but why are you bringing people in with Ebola when it's contained in Africa? Keep them there and treat them there, Schmendrick. No. We can control it. We're bringing it in. It may break out, but we're not sure. We have to study the issue a little further. The uncle in the pickle store knew more than these idiots who are running things. Same in the presidency. Same thing. The man, I don't think he has any common sense. How do they come up with these brilliant? He's a brilliant. Richmond, Virginia. Keith, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, your magical mystery tour kind of sparked my imagination, and I started thinking if I could go on my magical mystery tour, I'd have the second article of the Constitution repealed, just do an amendment, have a convention of states. We could eliminate Obama, and we would have never had Bush.
Why do we need a presidency at all? Who elected these people to be royal figures? What the hell do we need them for? Why don't we eliminate the executive position? What point is there having in putting all this power in one office? Why?
I'm with you.
Why? I mean, let Congress argue and fight all the time, but at least they will in some way represent some of the interests of the people. But who gives this figure all this power? You're right, it's an antiquated office and an antiquated concept in our republic. We do not need the executive office. It should be eliminated. It should be just written out of the Constitution. What do we need it for? It's perhaps the worst decision ever made to have an executive power at all. It's an interesting idea, really, when you think about that. 855-407-2A2 is the phone number. Oh, I have good callers now. I don't even want to stop. Vince on WMAL. Oh, I got to hit the right button. I don't want to miss this one. Vince on WMAL, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Thank you. I appreciate everything you do. You're like a beacon of light through the fog of this dismal country right now.
I agree I am. Yeah. I should say humbly, no, I'm not, but I am.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you if you've ever experienced this. I was lying in bed. It hasn't happened for a while, and I don't know if it's because I became a Christian or not, but years ago I was lying in bed, and it felt like right before I went to sleep, there was this great weight, like, pushing down on my chest.
Uh-oh.
And the only thing I can equate to was, like, the angel of death was trying...
As a matter of fact, I had it Thursday night, where I was a child again in bed trying to call out to mommy or daddy, and I was trapped under thousands of pounds of weight and couldn't get out, couldn't even get out a cry. Did you ever have one of those? Where you start to go, and not a sound comes out of you and you can't move? Do you ever have one of those? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, you can't move.
Well, what that is we're being tested, and it tests our life force to see if we want to live or die. Every once in a while, the systems need to be tested, and I suppose I passed the test for now. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It's 25 minutes after the hour across the world, and we're watching the world go to pieces. And this is an astonishing story unto itself. The President of the United States comes out to give a speech about putting troops back into Iraq. He has trouble sending the feet out. Listen to this. From Martha's Vineyard, where he's on vacation, instead of going back to the White House where he belongs, he chooses to broadcast his big proclamation from his vacation destination. They have trouble broadcasting it, and then it dies in the middle of the speech. Do you know that? It was lost. The feed was lost. It's unbelievable to me how symbolic this is. It's as though he's become irrelevant unto himself, that everything he says is irrelevant. Unfortunately, the same problem does not consist of act within his pen. If only the same electronic breakdown could occur with his pen, we might have a little hope for the next 2 years. But unfortunately, the pen won't stop spewing ink as he writes his whatever. My God, what a world we live in. You know, I was just watching the footage of these poor people getting on the helicopters in Iraq, and you see them crying, getting away from those Muslim, homicidal, genocidal bastards. And you ask yourself, what world would tolerate these Islamo-fascists? look at these innocent faces of these children and these old women, I say to myself, they're crying on the helicopter. And our boys, our young boys are there like the heroes they've always been. And as they pull up with these people who jumped on at the last minute to get away from these homicidal, genocidal, Islamic murderers, they're having to shoot their way out of that place. The door gunner, just like in Vietnam, blasting the homicidal, genocidal Muslim fanatics. Can you understand what you're living through? Do you have any idea why this is happening? Can you accept a religion that permits this to happen? Should we bring in more Muslims to America, however good they may be? There, I've asked the question. Do you know that the number of people on the terrorism watch list has doubled in the last 2 years, proportionate with the number of Muslims brought into the United States of America? And do you know that one of the largest clusters of those on the terrorism watch list is Dearborn, Michigan, home to the largest Muslim population in America? Oh my God, is there somebody at home? Is there somebody at home running this country?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
World shrugs as Islamic State jihadists, known as Islamofascists, target Christians and the Mideast returns to the Middle Ages. And there's one of their own, a little seven-year-old boy holding a severed head in the Middle East. He came from Australia with his dad, living on welfare, no doubt, in Australia. And he took the little boy over there to learn the ways of the old land. And the young boy, the seven-year-old Islamist youth, is holding a head by its hair. Now, we've blacked it out. I mean, it was blacked out. You can't see the head, actually, but you can see the hair of the head. And this is how they train their children, while you teach yours to have a teddy bear and a balloon, to take Adderall, to take diversity training. This is not going to work out very well, ladies and gentlemen. No, no, no. Let me ask you how this ends. They train their kids to cut off heads at seven, and you teach your child to take Adderall if he has any feelings of aggression at all. And you tell him he's a bad boy. How does that end? I'll tell you how it ends. The world shrugs as Islamic State jihadists target Christians, and the Mideast returns to the Middle Ages. That's how it ends. Jihadists begin their caliphate with stoning women to death. That's how it ends. With thousands fleeing as the Islamofascists run over them and cut their heads off. That's how it ends. That's the beginning of the end. Iraqi villages are under terror ultimatum. Convert or die. That's how it ends. This is how it ends. It's not happening by accident. You know, many say, okay, it's by accident that it's happening in the sense that they didn't want it, but I'm not so sure they didn't want it. Not so sure. Meanwhile, looting is going on in St. Louis under the guise of a civil rights protest. What does robbing a pair of jeans or a television set have to do with a civil rights protest? What does breaking into a convenience store half naked with your pants hanging under your disgusting butt have to do with a civil rights march? I'll let you figure that out. Let's take some callers on my magical mystery tour and my political statements today. Those of you who have an IQ above that of the jihadists understood what I was doing. But we're getting plenty of jihadists who are calling because they don't have the brains to understand intellect. All they know is how to kill and convert. Clinton in Kentucky, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, Dr. Savage, I wanted to weigh in on the weight that you and some of your callers are experiencing.
The sense of being trapped under a great weight while sleeping and trying to call out and you can't. What is that?
Sleep paralysis. We call it sleep paralysis, and it kind of is like you're paralyzed. You can't speak. You're conscious.
Exactly. You're conscious, and you're trying to, like, yell out. Not a sound comes out. I used to get it as a child. I had it last Thursday. Finally, when I burst through that fog, I was able to, you know, say something. It's pretty frightening. I thought it was, frankly, a result of the alcohol wearing off around 3 in the morning.
Well.
No, I had my normal potion of whatever, a couple of drinks. And sometimes it will happen when you get low blood sugar. Your brain will react like that after you've had a few drinks and you wake up, you know, kind of with like, oh, wow, there goes the blood sugar. The blood glucose is gone.
If you just ride that out, and if you don't let the fear override you, and you just ride that out, then you will go into a state of vibrations, and then if you ride that out, then you can leave your body. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, out of body.
I really don't know that I'm into good vibrations anymore, but the thing is, I rode it out. I waited until I could cry out. Then I cried out to my dog, and he says, leave me alone. I'm tired. It's the middle of the night. What do you want from me? No, it's funny. When you come out of that state of sleep paralysis, and you do finally, something comes out of you like a sound, right? You know, and there you are. I remember when I was a kid, I'd get that. I had that as a child. I always, it was a wolf on top of me, now that I think about it. Maybe I shouldn't do this on the radio. I remember 4, 5, 6 years old, very Egyptian, I get that. The wolf was on me. I had a wolf on top of me. Would you believe that? When 5, 6 years old? Oh, probably today. Could you imagine what they put me on if I ever told my, if I ever told a doctor that? Now, son, what was it exactly you felt there? Well, you see, I was laying in bed. My mother and father were sleeping in the bed near me. And I woke up and I saw a black wolf over me. And his paws were on my shoulders and his feet were on my feet. And I tried to cry out to my mother and father, but I just couldn't meet the challenge of that. Okay, here's 8 drugs, and we're going to send him to a home now for 18 years because you're not supposed to see visions when you're a child. You're an American. In America, we don't see visions. No, no, in America, we don't see such visions. We're a wholesome people. We're a clean people. We're a clean white people. That's for the tribalists out there. We're a clean people. We're an American people. We don't have such things in our children. Your child's very, very sick indeed. We're clean people here in America, and our children don't have such dreams. They dream of Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. They dream of balloons and merry-go-rounds. They have good dreams. They don't have such dreams of wolves. Well, later on, I realized it was sort of a pharaonic image, the wolf. I never had it since 5 years of age, but I think there was a wolf, actually, when I was a kid, like a spiritual wolf. I mean, if you're a Native American, you understand what I'm talking about. I function in several different worlds at once. You have to understand that. I may sound super rationalist at times, but in many ways, my soul is a Steppenwolf soul, and I can function in several different worlds and several dimensions at the same time. I'm just telling you like it is. I look back at my old journals now from the 60s, and I see a multifaceted personality. Today, there's, oh, multiple personalities, sick man. No, he was an artist. Portrait of the talk show host as a young artist, that's all. Would have to be a monodimensional moron who went to a ball game? For you to do, hey, Yankees, yay, Dodgers, no, Republicans, yes, Democrats, no, yay, one side only, step right up, I'm an American, I'm a monodimensional American, real man, American. I'm not that, in that regard. I have some kind of mystical genes in me that I don't know where they come from, but why should I fight them? That's the thing, is you got to live with what you are. Doesn't mean you're sick because you have visions. Well, because you have fears. Well, who says that if you're a mystic, you're going to be happy the rest of your life? You might be in another state of something else. You have to live with it. That's all. That's what you were given. That's your destiny. And you try to help people out there who are, let's say, confused, and you also have the vision, the ability to see through things. Look, if you're a seer, if you're a person who can see things more clearly than others, then you're known as a painter, a poet, a pauper. You know what I'm saying? You're a seer for the tribe. The French, Mallarmé wrote it. I wish I could remember my French. I can't. But he wrote that the man who, forget about it. I can't remember it. It's so beautiful in French. I don't remember my French anymore. It's been many years since I've spoken it, or I don't have the occasion. I don't even go to a French restaurant anymore. The closest I come to it is buying a pack of frozen French fries in the supermarket. I don't even drink French wine. I mean, it's terrible. I have no contact with French. Well, yes, the Basque restaurant, I suppose they speak French, but I don't dare. It's to make more clear the words of the tribe. That's how you say it. Fais plus clair le mot de la tribu. That's it. I love reading that. Fais plus clair le mot de la tribu. Pardon me for my mangled French. Now, why am I saying that to you? It's to show off, right? No, it's not to show off. In other words, the poet was supposed to make more clear the words of the tribe. The tribe sat around the campfire, and one amongst the tribe was the poet. And in those days, not like poets today, there are no real poets today. The only poets exist are on talk radio and a few places like that. The rest are poseurs and phonies. I mean, Maya Angelou, that was a poet? It was a failed politician. That's what they call poets. Poets. They write anti-American hate. That's what they call poetry today, and they get a Nobel Prize. to make more clear the words of the tribes. It occurs as an artist, a painter, a poet, as I say, or a talk show host. We help you clarify what you see and what you feel and what you hear. It's not that we're smarter than you. It's that we have the time to do it. We specialize in this. You have to make a living. We don't. We only have to make radio. Could you believe that the president's speech is interrupted because of a failure? That they're not even saying that on the... Listen to how biased and how... We live in such a controlled Stalinist media that this unprecedented situation occurs. The president starts to speak late because they couldn't get the feed going out of Martha's Vineyard. Then in the middle of his speech, the speech breaks and all the networks drop him. And all of the fraudulent seers in the media don't say one word about it, just as they're not saying about the loss of Neil Abercrombie in Hawaii, who was Obama's protege. And Obama did radio, TV ads for the sitting governor, and the guy loses in a primary, and they don't cover it. Because it shows you that Obama is hated in his home state. Hated! They've looked through the jester. Even in his home state, they said no. Abercrombie lost like 67 to 25, something along those lines. Now they're showing us pictures of the F-A-18 already now on CNN, the expert. Here, the expert on military affairs. The woman who hates the military and hates America. There she is, the expert. Oh, yes, the F-A-18 has a bomb load of X, can fly that. It's an around-the-clock, all-weather fighter. Excuse me, madam, have you ever fired a Daisy BB gun? No, of course not, and I hate guns. But these are good jets now and good bombs because President Zero has ordered them into the air. To strike the evil on earth. Well, what is the evil on earth? Who exactly are they striking, madam? And you, Mr. Blitzer, who are the enemy? They're extremists. They're terrorists. Mr. Blitzer, who exactly are these extremist terrorists? They're rebels. They're rebels in Iraq. They're striking rebels with the laser JDAM bombs. Is there a religion that these terrorists practice, sir? Oh, we can't do that one. And what are these benign rebels doing to non-Muslims, sir? I'm sorry, now we have to cut out. We have to lose our feed. Stuck in the middle with you, clowns and jokers. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Matthew on KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Wow, I can't believe I'm on. Thank you, Dr. Savage. Your Magical Mystery Tour has been fantastic. I work in the Bay Area film industry, and it's nice for you, and I try to be a translator of conservative perspectives to those who I care about that are liberals.
Let me save you some heartache. Don't try.
Well, it was great that the way that you have framed today's show, because you have a psychedelic perspective that you use to weave your ideas into to communicate to people that would...
Yeah, no, this was... when I went on at 2 o'clock today, I broke into this because I had been reading Huxley's book, Between Heaven and Hell, The Doors of Perception and Heaven and Hell by Aldous Huxley, an old book I've had, and I was rereading it because the insights are overwhelming. And what happened was, is I gave you a sort of verbal psychedelic experience without drugs. And I wove all of the news stories, you know what I'm saying, and visions all together. And I hope that some people enjoyed it.
I thought it was fantastic. Well,
that's the thing. You know why I'm rereading that book? It's interesting because I'm having my journals from the 60s transcribed. I have 19 journals. Six of them have been transcribed. There's only 175 pages of those six journals. And it's the years that I visited, I ran in those circles. I never took psychedelics, but I ran in the circles briefly. And I avoided psychedelics because I wanted to experience, I wanted to understand what they were seeking. They were all misinformed, unfortunately. They were on the wrong path. So I visited Laura Huxley, who was Alice's wife, her widow. And it was one of the high points of my young manhood. Was for her to admit me into her house in California, L.A. I mean, it was a huge thing in my life. I can't say a lot came out of it, but I remember finding it in my journals, and so it made me look back upon Huxley's writings. That's, I guess, why I was able to transcend today's normally didactic radio talk show. I'll be right back. Thank you for listening on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. They're not even reporting what Obama said, by the way. He said he's putting troops on the ground, I think, that we're going to be there for a long time, and they cut out. It's unbelievable to me. Is it any wonder that I took you on a magical mystery tour? How much can you take? I can't just... He starts to speak, and then they cut it off, and they don't even say, I'm sorry. Here's the rest of the speech. Where is he now? They couldn't reestablish the circuit from the President of the United States of America? Oh, well, what can I do? Meredith on WMAL in Washington, D.C. Go ahead, please.
I want to tell you, first of all, I eat a little bit healthier now that I listen to you every day.
Good.
The people in England are really missing out because they don't play you anymore.
Oh, of course not. I'm banned in England, not only physically, but of course on the internet. It's a free country, you see. The land of the Magna Carta has become the land of the dog card under this administration.
And if I may, I'm glad Obama didn't come back to do his little speech here because he dogs up my traffic all the time so he can go eat a hot dog, which is white people freak out about.
Where is he? He gave a speech from Martha's Vineyard.
Right. I'd have been sitting.
Oh, you're glad he didn't come back from vacation in the midst of the world burning.
Right.
I see. Yeah, I see. I think he came off the ninth tee or whatever they call it.
Ninth hole.
I think he came off the Ninth Circuit, actually. It's where he belongs in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
He's also not very good at golf because they never show his shots.
Well, they never showed his college transcripts either.
Touché.
Thank you for the call. Meredith, you're right. I do belong in England. I miss the famous dental work and the great English cuisine. But the day shall come that I'm the only talk show host, the only member of the American media prohibited from entering England for things I didn't even say. And no one's helped me. How do you like that? From the land of the Magna Carta to the land of the magnificent donkey cart in one generation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Savage. Call now.